Greetings to you this morning in the name of Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I count it a pleasure this morning to be here with you. Some familiar faces out there that make me feel good. A lot of faces I don't know as well, but that's okay too. The way you sang this morning sound like we know the same Savior, and that's a blessing. Bringing you greetings from Van Leer, Tennessee, the church there, Lighthouse Mennonite Church in Van Leer, Tennessee. We've been there about six, seven years now, and we're trying to be faithful in lighting that little corner of the earth as you are lighting the corner here in Kansas. Welcome to come visit us. This morning, for just a bit of meditation, this morning we think about a scripture, a devotional. I'd like to turn your thoughts this morning to one of the greatest gifts that God gave to mankind or established here on this earth, and that is the kingdom of God. And I don't know if you're excited about the kingdom of God this morning, but I am. The king invited me to be a part of that, and I enjoy being his subject or his servant. So if you think this morning about a kingdom, I'd like to make sure our young people understand what actually is the kingdom of God. Turn your Bibles to Matthew 3, and we're going to talk a little bit about the kingdom of God. What actually is the kingdom? Now, when you think of a king, there's four things that need to be in a kingdom or part of the kingdom. And there's probably a lot more things, but there are four things that are really, really important in a kingdom. First of all, you must have a king. In order to have a kingdom, there must be a king. And Jesus Christ is the king. And he's the one that makes the rules. He's the one that sets the guidelines. He's the one that directs the kingdom. So he's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Then the king must have a place to reign. He must have a place to where his kingdom can work or can be and live. And God chose his kingdom. He chose this earth right now as a place for his spiritual kingdom to reign. Also, in a kingdom, there must be subjects, individuals, that can be a part of that kingdom. A king without subjects, without someone to follow, is really not a very powerful kingdom. So we need people, we need individuals. Then, fourthly, when you think of a kingdom and you think of a place for the king to be at and think of the individuals, there must be obedience to the king. You know, if you had a bunch of individuals that were part of a kingdom that would not be obedient to the king, you would have a very weak kingdom. So God in heaven, when he sent Jesus Christ to this earth, he appointed John the Baptist. He said, John, I want you to go to this earth. I want you to go to this earth. He was born on this earth. But I want you to get ready. I want you to prepare, because I want to set up this kingdom here, the spiritual kingdom here on this earth. And I want you to go to this earth. I want you to prepare the way, prepare people's hearts, so that when I come as a king, that they will accept me and they will be a part of my kingdom. So John the Baptist came to this earth, and in Matthew 3, verse 2, I say came to this earth. John the Baptist was on this earth as he was born, Zacharias. Matthew 3, verse 2, John the Baptist, when he began to preach, he said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He was just opening the door. He was like this messenger that was going out ahead and trying to help the people to understand that Christ's kingdom is coming. It's at hand. It's right next door. It's almost here. And they were excited about that, because they were thinking that someday a king is going to come. Even though it came a lot differently than what they were expecting, God had to show them. He had to help them understand what the real king, the spiritual king, was going to be like. Jesus Christ is the Lord of Lords and King of Kings, and he was inviting us to be a part of that kingdom. Now, on this earth, God created mankind in the garden, and when God created mankind, God created him with an ability to worship and an ability to, he made mankind in his own likeness, in his own image, and as subjects, as people. God created us in his likeness. In the individual, God created a place of worship. a temple that he himself wanted to reign. He himself wanted to worship in that temple. God created us with that capacity, and all mankind, whether they worship God or worship whatever they worship, they tend to worship or look up to something. And Jesus Christ, as the King, wants to be that center of devotion. Hebrews 9, verse 2, we're not going to turn there for the sake of time. God instructed Moses to make an earthly temple, a tabernacle that he could dwell in. And think of the Holy of Holies. So the Spirit of God, the Shekinah glory, dwelt in an earthly tabernacle. That's where the ark was. That's where the showbread was at, the candlesticks. It was an earthly temple. But God was not satisfied with that earthly temple. And in Hebrews 9, verse 11, it says, when Jesus Christ comes as a high priest, he wants to live in a temple not made with hands. Now, understand the temple was a very beautiful place, overlaid with gold. It was very magnificent, very beautiful. But God was not satisfied with living in an earthly temple. He wanted to live in a temple not made with hands. So where could that be? What is not made with hands here in this earth? That's our bodies. Our bodies are not made with hands. God created us and God formed us. And he created in our bodies a place of worship. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20, it says, know ye not, ye are the temple of God. You are the place where my spirit wants to live and worship and inhabit. And then also it says there, it says, when the Holy Spirit comes into your tabernacle, in your temple, and serves God there, it says, ye are not your own. When we accept Christ as our Savior, and the Spirit of God comes within us, then we are not our own. Jesus Christ says, I am the door. You must be born again. When the Holy Spirit comes into our lives, and that's part of the Godhead. Part of the Godhead comes into our life, into that temple that's within us. In that Holy Spirit within us, in John says that Holy Spirit enables us. It inspires us. It teaches us, instructs us, it guides us, it shows us how to walk in the kingdom. So this morning, as Christians, if the Holy Spirit is in our temple, is dwelling within us, part of the Godhead dwelling within us, we are subjects to the King, Jesus Christ, King of kings, Lord of lords. We're his subject, and we are part of the kingdom of God. So the spiritual kingdom of God is here on this earth, is right here among us. If you have the Holy Spirit in your life, then you are part of the kingdom of God. Now, just being a part of the kingdom of God is not the only thing that that God desires. He wants subjects that are not only part of his kingdom, but who work in his kingdom, who are obedient to his commands. And I said earlier, Jesus Christ, King of kings, Lord of lords, he made the rules, he set the guidelines, he set the parameters, and we as his subjects must follow and walk in those guidelines. Romans 14, verse 17 says, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It's not earthly, even though we had some very good eating the last while. It's not, it was important. We enjoyed that, but it's not, the kingdom of God is more important than turkey and ham or vehicles or whatever it is. The kingdom of God is righteousness. Okay? Godly lives. Subjects who are obedient to the King of kings, Lord of lords. So this morning, as you think about being grateful this morning, being thankful, thank the King of kings, Lord of lords, for being your king. Thank God for the Holy Spirit that has chosen to dwell in our temple, in his temple, our bodies. And then that Holy Spirit within us enables us. It helps us to enjoy the Christian life, the work that God has for us. Righteousness, peace, and joy. Are you grateful this morning for peace and joy? I am. It's because God has chosen us to be part of his kingdom. And he wants us to live obediently to his word. And then we can experience peace and joy. And then also we can help others find peace and joy. Let's stand for prayer. God, this morning we are grateful to you this morning for such a wonderful, beautiful day you've given to us. God, thank you for being King of Kings, Lord of Lords. And we know, God, when you sent John the Baptist to prepare the way, he said to repent, open people's hearts, help people see where they're at, where they're going. Prepare their hearts for the King to come, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, when he came, also said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Today, 2,000 years later, the spiritual kingdom is still reigning here on this earth. And God, it's reigning right here in Hutchinson, Kansas. Reigning right here into the hearts and lives of individuals. And we thank you for that. Thank you, God, for allowing us as your children to be a part of that kingdom. And I pray, God, this morning, as we understand and as we work in your kingdom, God, help us not to choose our own way, but to choose your way. May you direct our paths. Help us to be sensitive, broken, humble, obedient to your word. And God, as you lead, as you direct, as you choose our paths, as you choose the circumstances you want us to walk through, and as you guide and direct our lives, God, I pray that we would follow you and honor you as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. God bless these Sunday school teachers as they teach. God, just inspire and bless them as they share. And also for the message today, may God, you speak to us through the vessels that you have chosen and you have directed. May we get hear from you today, God, to better understand as your subjects what you would have us to do today. God bless your service. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.